No dairy, no sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bro.
What's up, Beardos? Welcome to episode 41 of The Bearded Vegans. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes on the Commentist Network, which can be found at thecommentist.com, and you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's episode, we will find out where in the world Andy is, and then dive into a review of the film At the Fork, the new film from John Papala. And before we find out where Andy has been today, we have a very special guest, Amanda Just, Communications Manager at the Farm Animal Rights Movement, also known as the acronym FARM, who will be joining us for today's episode. So hello, Amanda.
Hello.
So Andy, where are you at?
I am in the beautiful sunny state of California right now. And Amanda can actually join me on this because some of these I went to without her and then doubled back around and she joined me. So I went to buy Chloe, which I did go to the New York location when it was newly opened. And I really liked it, but I didn't eat in, and, you know, takeaway food, you never know what the full restaurant experience is. Mm-hmm. So I went back. I got the classic burger, which is a tempeh lentil chia walnut patty, and it has all the fixings you'd expect on a burger, and some you might not, including a beet ketchup and their special sauce. And I thought it was really good, but the star of the show was the mac and cheese, which you can get with this shiitake bacon. Ooh. And they give you a little bit, but you must ask for extra if you ever get it, because you just get a pile of the shiitake bacon that you can't even see the mac and cheese below it. The mac and cheese is fine. It's like a sweet potato cashew sauce, so it's like more sweet potato-y than cheesy, but this shiitake bacon is mind-blowingly good.
I haven't had a good mac and cheese in a while, and that bacon makes it sound even better.
It is awesome.
It's very good.
With the extra bacon, you can basically have a piece of bacon in every bite.
Ooh.
And it's fantastic.
Andy knows what's up.
Who's that? Oh, wait. It's Amanda.
Amanda.
Oh, yeah. Just for the listener, Amanda Just, Communications Manager at the Farm Animal Rights Movement.
Hello.
In case you missed it 2 minutes ago.
I'm so tired right now. Okay, continue.
For the listener... We're all very tired. Amanda and I are on the West Coast, so it's 10 o'clock, but Paul's on the East Coast, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. He's just been diligently waiting around for us to start recording.
So, Andy, what else have you had?
The other place we went to was Ramen Hood, which is one of my favorites in L.A., and I got the spicy ramen, which I knew was really good from last time. I've learned my lesson, though. I have forsaken the vegan egg. I think it is not good at all. Amanda, you got the vegan egg. What did you think?
It was gross. I didn't like it. It was a texture thing. It didn't taste like anything, but it was just so squishy and different forms of squishy, and I didn't like it out any of it.
Skip the vegan egg. It's an extra $2 anyway. I say spend your extra $2 on extra king oyster mushrooms, which they slice up and fry, and they're kind of like scallops. And that is now my go-to. And so they do this really good ramen, but the star of the show is their sides, I think. They had something I talked about last time, which was banh mi poutine. But they also have this broccoli dish, which is just the crispiest broccoli, like perfectly just broiled or something. Everything is crispy, and then it comes with a chili soy glaze. It's the most delicious sauce ever. Ever, I tell you.
Ever?
Ever. And they also do their version of an avocado toast, which instead of toast, it's like some kind of fried crispy rice cake thing. Like not the kind that you would get at like a health food store.
No Quaker Oats.
Yes. And then it has yuzu. I don't even know what that is, but it has yuzu avocado and like a bed of basil and mint and a squirt of lime and some other spices, and it is so good.
Very good. Very flavorful.
Very nice.
So those are all we've actually been kind of locked away in the animal rights conference and not venturing out for food too much. So those are all the good places we went out to that were worth mentioning. Paul, what's been going in that beautiful mouth of yours lately?
So I was up in Maine this weekend, and I took a couple trips to Portland, visited one of my all-time favorite restaurants, which is Silly's. They actually, if I remember from last time, I think they took away some of the decor, some of the silly decor, so it was not as silly as it was last time.
But enough to rename it?
No. Well, they still have like some like little card games at every table, like those trivia card games. So
that's,
I guess
that's kind of silly. That's not very silly.
That's silly. That's pretty average.
But it was still delicious. I had a like a barbecue tofu wrap and then a jerk tofu plate with like rice and beans and then fried pickles as an appetizer that was dipped in this like sweet mayonnaise sauce. It was great. And then the next day I went back to Portland. I was with a bunch of people. We went to a not super vegan like oriented place. It was called the Honey Paw. It was like a seafood place, which is what a lot of Portland restaurants are. But they did have a few vegan options, and I ended up getting this tofu sandwich, which was surprisingly delicious given that it is not a very vegan-oriented place. So both those places were great. And then today, right before I went to the At the Fork screening, which I went to in Bridgeport, I decided to stop by one of Andy's favorites, Shandles, which is an all-vegan kind of like Jamaican place, and it is delicious. This is the second time I've had it, and I will definitely be back there for more food because it was great. It was it was a nice little like, oh, I'm going to see like a what I assume to be a vegan movie. Might as well get some nice vegan food right like 10 minutes away from the theater. So it was great.
I'm so glad that Shandles is now in your life, Paul. I think it's one of the best, if not the best, vegan spots in Connecticut.
Yes, it was. It's very good. So, Andy, how's this animal rights conference going for you?
Yes, as mentioned, just spent several days. The conference is 3.5 days, basically, maybe four. And I think we'll probably talk about it more at length in next episode because today is just sort of the end of everything conference related happening. I haven't quite gathered my thoughts yet. Mm-hmm. But before we get too far away from it, I did want to mention all of the wonderful beardos who came out in record numbers for any event that I've done. So that was actually really cool to see so many people, especially at that event, coming out and saying that they're enjoying the podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, so just to name the names that I wrote down, I think I got everyone. If I missed you, I apologize. We have Andrea, we have Larry and Sharon, we have Brittany, we have Suzanne, we have Sky, we have Michael with a Y, we have Sandy Swiss, we have Lori and Lisa from Vegan Outreach, we have John, we have James, who is the founder of the Vegan Chalk Challenge. We'll talk about that on a future episode, I'm sure. Paulina, and we also got some especially kind words from Mark Hawthorne, who has a new book coming out called A Vegan Ethic, and I look forward to interviewing him on a future episode. So shout out to everyone that stopped by. It definitely really made my weekend.
Woo! Guess how many beardos I saw at my screening of At the Fork?
At least one.
Zero.
I was way off.
I was actually worried because 9 minutes before the show started, there was still no one else in the theater besides me.
Andy and I were 2 of 9 people total.
Oh, geez. There was about 15 people in mine. All late arrivals.
This was an event that was booked through Tug, where people could book tickets in advance. And there was 2 locations in Los Angeles that were doing it. And one of them, when I checked, was already sold out. And then another one, which was way down in Long Beach, which I did purchase tickets for. I have no idea if it sold out or not. And then just today, when I was Googling the movie, I saw that it was actually playing in Santa Monica, which is significantly closer to where we are staying. And was not through Tug, not listed on the At the Fork website whatsoever, and was also a few dollars cheaper. So we actually ended up going to that one instead. And still ended up starting recording really late. So speaking of that movie, let's get to our review of At the Fork.
I love my big Italian family. My family loves their food.
And then,
oh yes, and there's the bacon.
There's the bacon.
But not my whole family. For the past 10 years, my vegetarian wife has been trying to convince me to take a closer look at just how these ribs ended up on my plate. So I agreed to set out on a journey to visit the farms, meet the animals.
Oh my God, he's huge.
And question the farmers.
So why did you speak out?
I just felt like the consumer was being lied to.
And what we found surprised us.
Caring about animals, caring about where your food comes from, caring about how your food is produced is just part of a larger shift in all of civilization.
Man does have dominion over the animals. Man does have a calling to be a steward of the animals.
With animals, you're talking about living beings that have feelings, they have emotions, that's been proven. But dominion does not mean complete domination.
I don't have to cause the death of somebody else to survive.
Yes, I ethically justify eating meat, but we've got to give animals a good life. We've got to give them a life worth living.
From their own website, the description is, filmmaker and omnivore John Papilla, together with his vegetarian wife Lisa, offer up a timely and refreshingly unbiased look at how farm animals are raised for our consumption. With unprecedented access to large-scale conventional farms, Papilla asks the tough questions behind every hamburger, glass of milk, and baby back rib. What he discovers are not heartless industrialists, but America's farmers. Real people who, along with him, are grappling with the moral dimensions of farming animals for food. So this movie is sort of being sold as this unbiased look at animal agriculture and the journey of one man as he strives to find the answers and grapples with these questions. So I guess my question for you, Paul, before we get into any of the nitty-gritty, the nitpicking that we so love to do, what were your overall impressions of the film, and do you feel like this was the unbiased look at the food production system that it purports to be?
I think it's unbiased in the sense that when he's interviewing all these farmers, it's like he's not, I didn't get, for most of them, I didn't get the feeling that they were trying to like present the farmers in like a different way than what they were actually saying. Like, I think all the farmers were being very honest with what they think and how they feel. And there are times when you're like, oh, this guy is like a big hypocrite, or other times where you're like, oh, this person seems like an honest person. That being said, though, I think that overall the movie did have the bias of presenting the idea that if animals are treated better, then it will be better for everybody, and it'll be healthier meat, and the animals will be happier, and everything will be great as long as we provide better conditions for the animals before they get sent off to get killed.
And Amanda, what were your overall impressions of the film?
I really liked that it opened up with Animal Place, and that gave me hope that the movie would be, I guess, at worst balanced. But then, I don't know, HSUS came up, and Compassion in Global Farming, what's that called?
World Farming,
same thing. I don't know, it didn't seem as unbiased as I hoped it would be.
I think it only used the word vegan maybe two times in the movie, and then plant-based maybe one time.
Yeah.
And one of the times that it used the word vegan was just the guy saying, one of the guys was that kind of put himself like in the ethically in the middle ground. He said like, oh yeah, I'm getting attacked. And this was the first time the word vegan was used. He was like, yeah, I get attacked both by like the industrial farmers and by like the radical vegans. I think that was maybe one of two times that the word vegan is used. It's definitely not really pushing. This movie was not really pushing veganism as much as I think we had hoped it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew who the key players were going in, so we were very wary of the message that it was going to put out there. And for those who haven't listened to our film reviews, there's no spoiler section. We spoil the hell out of it as much as you can, a documentary-type film, no big plot twists or anything. But I will say that at the very end of the film, they give people three things they can do, and only one of them is to get, you know, better welfare animals. And the rest do involve eating more plant-based foods or switching out animal foods for plant foods. But it almost felt like that didn't fit with everything else the film was putting out there for me.
Yeah.
It did feel like it was essentially saying that, yes, there is a way for people to exploit animals humanely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my overall impression of the film, I thought it was a very good looking film. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say beautiful. It certainly wasn't Racing Extinction. I don't know what kind of funding or who funded it, but it looked really good. It had a lot of great drone footage flying over all these farms. And I kept trying to think, how would someone view this if they weren't already informed on a lot of these issues? And I'm not sure how someone would come out. I think that it is a film that is in some ways vague enough that you can get your own message from it. So I watched it and I was like, this reinforces what I think about animal agriculture. But I could easily see someone watching it that had, that was just, you know, eating burgers and not thinking about this stuff and going, okay, yeah, like veganism is too extreme. I just have to maybe eat a little less meat and kind of pay attention to where my meat is coming from and everything will be all right. Did you have that impression, Paul?
Yeah, or you have to be plant-based till 6 o'clock.
Yes, Mark Bittman, everyone.
And then everything's out the window after that, six.
I was not expecting that at all. Like, I thought he was going to say, when he first said that, when he was like, yeah, so you can go plant-based. ... till 6 o'clock, and then you can eat whatever you want. And I expected him to then follow it up with, so that's how I started, and now I'm fully plant-based. But he ended it with, and that's where I am now, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did, and I still am doing that.
Yeah.
No need to change.
Yeah, no need to constantly improve myself. I'm there. Andy, you said you don't know the key players behind this, or you don't know all the key players. Did you happen to catch one of the key players of this movie, the executive producer of this movie?
Are you talking about Dave Matthews himself?
Yes.
Little baby.
So at the end of the movie, when the credits are rolling, there's a Dave Matthews song playing, which I think isn't it also playing over the trailer maybe too?
Perhaps.
At some point? I don't know, maybe. Because I remember hearing the Dave, I don't know. But so yeah, this Dave Matthews song is playing throughout the whole trailer, and there's this cute little animation during the credits. But then when it starts to like say like directed by blah blah blah, and then it's executive producer Dave Matthews. So apparently he had something to do with this, which is wild.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Dave Matthews or his political leanings or dietary habits or any of those things or how he views animals, but I guess this gives us some window into that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the trailer, Paul, we did sort of a little, you know, what do we think? A few episodes ago, we did a thing where we're kind of saying, what are our impressions of this trailer? What do we think that it's going to be about? And I remember one of our possible outcomes was that this is a film that people think they're going to go in to watch and say it's going to reaffirm, you know, humane meat, but maybe it's sort of this like secret backdoor plea for veganism. And I don't think it was quite that exactly, but much in the way that Cowspiracy was like focusing on environmental stuff, but all these little things kept happening throughout it that sort of reinforced how horrible animal agriculture is, especially just by focusing on the farms that are supposed to be the most humane. This movie did that. It didn't really dwell on, you know, the big CAFOs, the factory farming, and it kept showing things that were seemingly mundane, but also horrific. I'm thinking about when they're castrating pigs, when they're clipping the teeth, docking the tails, artificial insemination. This film is not graphic in the way we're used to seeing graphic footage. It's not full of blood. There's no scenes of slaughter. And I guess we can talk about this in a bit, but I feel like if this film was to be truly unbiased, it should show the slaughter of animals. It should show what they can, you know, they said, someone said they just have one bad day. Well, I think they should have shown what that one bad day looks like so we can truly make up, the viewer can make up their minds if that one bad day is something they want to support.
Yeah, I feel like the unbiased aspect of it, and this is something that I wrote down in my jargony notes, the unbiased aspect of it was that it was a whole bunch of clips of farmers saying like, oh, my farm is the best farm because of this and this reason. And my animals get treated the most humanely because of this and this reason. So there was that part of it. And then I feel like the way that they make it quote unbiased is that basically after every one of these farms, the John Popola, the person that's filming this, his wife would always be like, yeah, but it doesn't really matter because they're still killing them at the end of the day. And that's really all that was said about that, was that like after a bunch of the points, after a bunch of the farms that they visited, she would just be like, yeah, but you know, they're still dying. It doesn't really matter. It's great. They're treated great. They're still dying at the end of the day. And they didn't go much in depth with that. So I don't think it was truly, they were, I don't think they were really truly presenting both sides and making it 100% unbiased, but I don't know. That's just what I think.
I agree. And I also feel like they should have focused more on industrial agriculture. You know, they're showing a percentage of farms that by all accounts make up about 1% of farms out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kind of, to me, it feels like someone could watch that and think like, yeah, there's a lot of horrible farms, but look at all these really good farms that are out there. You know, I feel like they should have had more of the vegan side and also more of what goes on in agriculture. And it would have been interesting. They did a little bit of this, but it would have been interesting to have more people involved in industrial agriculture explaining their side of things, because I think that just like showing, you know, the tail docking is horrific and just how mundane and like matter of fact it is, I think it would have also been horrific to see people explaining away the cruelty to animals under the guise of, you know, productivity and people have to eat meat, this is what we have to do for, you know, things like that. I think people would have been able to work those things out in their head, but instead the film focuses almost exclusively on these, you know, as you already said, one of the farmers pointed out, I'm the middle ground, you know, I'm, you know, it's like, well, it's still not a middle ground for the animals, which are being slaughtered and killed.
Yeah. I feel like this whole movie was an advertisement for Whole Foods to say like, come to Whole Foods. We have humanely raised meat raised by these farmers. And then it's an hour and a half of showing you how great the farmers are.
I kind of felt that way, too.
I was going to say, and then there is literally one part where a woman comes in and says, here's how you can buy these foods in Whole Foods.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down as well. It just seems like a commercial for Whole Foods. And so no surprise that Whole Foods has been sponsoring a lot of these screenings. But it's funny because they're sort of showing these operations and showing what it is. And when they talk about the five-step rating system that Whole Foods has, they're just like, each step means these animals are like treated the way the step says it is. They don't really say it's better, you know?
Yeah.
Which I thought was odd. And as we've talked about in previous episodes where we bring up Whole Foods, I forget the exact number, the amount of animals that are in that step 5 or 5 plus is like 0.02% of the products that they sell. It's like a small handful. It's almost just like this token thing that they can put out there and say, well, you can get step 5, but really that's just like a few like pig and cow farms. And, you know, and there was investigations recently that showed that even though step 5 are absolutely horrific, and, you know, they spent time in the film talking about how horrible the transportation process is. Well, the only animals that don't get that transportation process are in step 5. So like 99.8% of those animals still go through that transportation process that the film is telling you is horrible. And I feel like in its striving to be unbiased, it didn't really hammer home that point.
Also, if I remember correctly, because there was one part where someone literally goes through the steps and says, step 1 means this, step 2 means this, step 3 means this, step 4 means this. And then I think she says something like, and step 5 is even better for the animals, and doesn't actually say what it is, which I thought was strange too.
Yeah, that was really odd. That was the part that was like, this just feels like they're trying to sell you on Whole Foods.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those farmers that we're seeing aren't even sold in Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you think what I thought? This is a different idea. I felt like, and maybe the movie was trying to do this, or maybe this is what they're calling like this is unbiased. I felt like a lot of the farmers, because they went to a lot of different farms. I felt like a lot of them thought that they were doing a lot better than they actually are. And I think the film, whether intentionally or not, or maybe this is just my bias, I thought that the film did a good job of like kind of exposing like these farmers that are saying things such as, oh, and like these animals are doing great on this farm. And then it showed them, and then they'll be in these little, they're in like the gestation crates, like all cramped up. And then the farmer will say something like there was the one guy that was like, oh, we invite everyone to in the public to come in, to come and view our what goes on. And like what goes on, it did not look happy. No. It didn't look good. And I'm like, why is he having people, like, does he think that this is good?
Yeah. And at least I noticed that the people that were observing that farm, a lot of them had a look of disgust on their face.
Yeah.
But he's like, come on in. We're doing good. But
I felt like, yeah, and that's how I felt about a lot of them. And that even all, like almost all of them thought that they were doing great, but there was still something about it that was like, oh, this is weird. My favorite guy, though, was definitely the guy with the amazing like Southern accent.
He had a great accent.
He had the best accent. And I think he was actually, in terms of like, if we're talking about the welfare aspect, I feel like he was actually like doing good. And obviously it just showed a little bit of it, but it was literally just like, all right, my animals just kind of wander around all day and they have like just tons of land and they can just literally do whatever they want to do, is the impression that I got from him. Except he said it in a sicker accent.
Yeah. Yeah. What I liked about, you know, this is similar. The farmers that they interviewed, you know, they're trying to be transparent and talk about how everything they're doing is so good. But many of them made a point to say that it's still really hard on them emotionally. Mm-hmm. There was the one farmer, he had some pretty wicked facial hair. He was saying that the older he gets, the harder it gets to kill these animals. And there was the one woman at a cow farm who said that if she makes eye contact with the cow, she feels sick to her stomach when they're being loaded up to be killed. And then there were the 4-H kids. Both of them were obviously very, very touched and upset about losing the animals that they were raising for food, but, you know, became friends with them. And the one girl who had the two pigs, her father was crying in that one mm-hmm. scene too.
Yeah. I'm glad that they showed this, because it kind of, you know, I think it's easy for us as vegans to kind of like demonize these people, mm-hmm. but it's definitely, you could see it like in this movie, it's definitely taking a mental toll on a lot of these farmers that to some extent do care about the animals. I was the guy that you were talking about with the facial hair. Was that Craig?
I don't remember.
He was wearing a bunch of like novelty t-shirts, I feel like.
No, he had a hat.
Okay. There's that guy, Craig. I was kind of confused if he owned the farm or if he just worked at it. He was the guy with the chickens.
Oh, right. I know who you're talking about. That's not who I was talking about. But yeah, he was very clearly miserable with his job.
Oh, yeah. He had the line. He said like, yep, it's my job is to kill. I pick up dead chickens and I kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God, this guy is like miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And was that, so do you know, I couldn't get, was that his farm or was he just an employee at the farm?
He was a contractor, so he was under the thumb of some other organization and just trying to make a living.
But yeah, so essentially look at him as like a franchisee. Like he's running the store, but there are people above him that are telling him what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt very bad for him because like he does not seem like a happy person.
No.
Yeah, and those, all of those things still on some level make me think, is this kind of this backdoor vegan film? Because if people are like truly paying, and I don't know if this is just my lens as a vegan, and that's why it's really hard for me to tell. Like I would just have to show it to some random people who are not vegan and haven't seen videos and all that to really know how is this being perceived by people. But things like that, which are essentially just saying, these are the best of the best, and look how horrific it is. You know, and you have that one farmer who is, you know, using the electric prod on the pigs, and he's like, oh, we don't prod them very often. And they show him prodding them a bunch, mm-hmm. and he said, this mm-hmm. is actually better than most days. And I believe it was him that also, he also talked about how he used to get really angry, and how he's much better than he used to be. And so you think about what those poor pigs are going through on his angry days, you know, when he's angry at these, mm-hmm. you know, 1,000-pound creatures that, as he said, don't like to move. They like to mm-hmm. be where they are. They want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is it like for those pigs when it's time for them to move when he's having his angry day?
Yeah.
But at the same time, the film does really humanize a lot of these farmers And I think that that's a good thing. Like, what do you think, Amanda?
I agree. It's hard to be a human working in that environment. And I think the AR movement has a hard time recognizing the challenges, the human rights issues that happen in animal agribusiness. So I don't know. I think it did show a tender side to these people.
Yeah, and it was also really weird seeing how they grapple with the fact that they love their animals and they're still raising them to kill them. There was that one pig farmer, Becker Lane, and he said that, you know, he's like, at the end of the day, I am a salesman selling pork. Like, he said all this tender stuff about how much he cares for the animals, but he's like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a salesman selling pork, and that's what it comes down to. And that happens when he's being questioned about still castrating the pigs, and he admits that it just comes down to a consumer taste preference. And I've actually had, when I got a tour at Animal Place once, they were talking about that and said that it doesn't really affect the taste that much, or at all. So it's just kind of this like thing that farmers keep doing that doesn't really have a purpose. And to me, that was the two most heartbreaking moments were when the mother pig, you know, when they're like, oh yeah, we got to get her out of here in case she gets mad. It's like, in case, yeah, like he knew that she was going to get mad when they're castrating the pigs and the piglets are squealing and she is desperately trying to get in there to help her piglets. And then the moment when they talk about dairy and removing the calves immediately, or else they'll imprint, they'll bond, and then it'll be way worse. But clearly what we see is it's already really horrible for that mother cow when her child is taken away from her.
Absolutely. Those two scenes were heartbreaking. And like Andy said, this isn't like a super gory film or anything, but some of the scenes in there are very eye-opening. Or in my case, I had to look away from the screen because even though these are things that I know happen, I still can't handle watching certain things.
I actually thought that, not to harp on this guy, but I think this was the most powerful part for me, was that guy Craig, to talk about him again, when he was just, when it just shows him kind of just like walking up and down the aisles and like picking up a chicken and like popping its head off.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's doing it in such like a, like, I feel like it's like every time he does that, like a little bit more of his, we saw a little bit more of his soul like leaving his body. And it was just like, that to me was so, I mean, both for the animal and for the human aspect of it, I was like, oh, this is just terrible.
Yeah. And so it feels like the film should be concluding that this is not a system that we want to support at all. And there's all these moments kind of peppered in. They talk about how, like, you know, it's not necessarily a matter of scale. It's a matter of what's being produced, and no one would be offended by a giant carrot field. And like, they keep doing these things, but at the same time, at the end of the film, they say, only like, refuse to purchase anything that doesn't meet, isn't like humane certified or whatever. And I mean, if someone really wants to take that challenge, we know that they would be eating significantly less meat, because meat that fits those standards is not everywhere. But more often than not, people who take that challenge go, okay, when I go to Whole Foods, I'm going to purchase meat there. But if I go out at a restaurant, I'm not asking them where their animals are coming from. I'm not asking the conditions that the eggs are laid in. You know, and it just, it feels like it's almost like a free pass to let people go, yeah, I'm just going to do my best to like purchase humane animal products and not really examine, you know, what does it really mean? What am I really supporting when I'm doing this?
Yeah, and there was the line from, what's the Humane Society guy?
Wayne Pacelli? How do you say?
Wayne Pacelli. Yes.
He had the line, like, yes, so the solution to this is we need to eat more plant-based foods and more humanely raised animals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you couldn't just cut it off at that first part of the sentence.
If only.
So, yeah, it like you said, Andy, it's very kind of conflicting, which I guess is maybe that conflictingness that we're feeling is the unbias that they're trying to, that's what they're putting forth as unbias.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's hard because we should feel for the humans that are caught up in this system, But also the film on some level almost ignores the victims of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's yeah. like I guess on some levels this might be a really interesting and successful film because there is so many nuances to it. But like, I guess, you know, watching the film, perhaps we have the same feelings towards the farmers that the farmers have towards their animals, where it's like, we feel for you, but ultimately, you know, what you're doing is like a bad thing. Like we care for you, but also we kind of just want you to stop and not be out of a job, but have a different job, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And speaking of that sort of moral ambiguity, you know, the film keeps coming back to the main character, the director, and for the most part, he seems pretty unaffected by a lot of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they don't really get into that too much, but there's a few moments when he's having conversations with his wife, and I'm thinking especially about how he says, like, these things move him, but only momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that moment when he goes with the farmer who says he's, you know, the reasonable middle ground. They go to that, you know, 100,000 cattle operation, and he says, you know, it's like too abstract for me to almost care about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's no empathy because it's such an abstract thing. And I just wasn't sure how I really felt about this guy. And knowing that he had this attitude while putting together this film and editing this film, or being in charge of the editing and making these final calls on how issues are going to be presented.
And what was his like conclusionary statement? Because he never said, I'm going to stop like eating meat, or I'm only going to eat humane raised meat. It was kind of just like, we have to be better about what we put on our plate.
Yeah, it didn't sound personal for him at all. It sounded pretty vague. Something yeah. about being ethical and things will be better for everyone or something. It was something very vague like that.
It almost seems like he knows that this is the right thing to do. So he made this movie and he made that challenge, but he's not actually going to do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it was, his statement was as vague as the takeaway statement that Animal Place gave, which I was really disappointed in that, when they're like, a reporter came here and asked like what the takeaway is. And they're like, we just think you should have like empathy for all life. So like they said that message, and I was like, I wish they would, that she, like the one vegan voice, aside from the wife, I wish that the one vegan voice in this film would have been like, we think everyone should stop exploiting animals. You know, that is our takeaway.
It'd be cool if both of the vegan voices in the movie just had more space to talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, the that was the first scene in the, like, the movie jumps right in. There's like a 1 minute introduction, like, hi, my name is John Popola, and my family is Italian. Now let's get to it. And like, they get right into it, and they go right to that animal sanctuary, farm sanctuary, and then I wrote down, like, I was like, all right, vegan message so far, this like looks good, and then never come back to that, like nothing else really vegan like at all after that, except for the wife occasionally saying like, yeah, but they're dying at the end of the day.
Yeah, if it almost felt like a token, like, throwaway, okay, this is this side of the argument, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's go talk to all these farmers.
Mm-hmm. yeah
the movie gave me high hopes because it opened on Animal Place, but
yeah Did you count how many times the word dominion or stewardship was thrown
out? I was going to bring that up. And did you notice that two different farmers who use the word dominion multiple times had a little different take on them than the other? Because one was like, we have dominion, we're in charge of them. And the other farmer said something like, we have dominion, that doesn't mean we have to control their entire lives.
Yeah.
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 It's a fun one.
I'd never heard that word used so many times.
Well, Andy and I were on the 10 Billion Lives tour, and I feel like that came up a bunch of times. People playing the Dominion card.
Yeah. Although I would usually bring up, if they talk about God, I would talk about Dominion and what that means to me, which to me means we're stewards for them, not that we can use them however we please.
Yeah.
Which is something that one of the farmers did say.
Yep.
However, ultimately, they are still being used how he pleases, which is to sell their flesh for product, for, mm-hmm. for profit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, really, like, all of these, I feel like the main message, like the main message of the movie was what I'm going to try to read this chicken scratch that I wrote down here. It was one of the last, it was one of the, like, towards the end of the movie, one of the farmers was like, I try to give them the best life. And then it culminates me taking their life. Like, they literally say that, which is, like, brutally honest. Like, at least they're admitting that at the end of the day, they're still dying. But I feel like that's kind of like the general, I feel like that's the takeaway of the movie is like, hey, it's okay. It's okay to take their life as long as you give them the best life that they can.
Or as long as you feel bad about it a little bit. Like that was almost the takeaway. It was like, as long as you're sad about it, it's okay to do it.
Yeah. That's sad but true.
I do not think that I would recommend a non-vegan to see this movie because I feel like they would come out of it with the opposite message that I would want them to have.
Well, it's no unity. I would recommend this movie before Unity, that's for sure. That's not really saying much.
Yeah. Like I also was thinking it's impossible for me to recommend this to someone because it does recommend consuming animals on some level. But at the same time, it also just shows this kind of unflinching look at these practices, which are legal. And in many cases, the farmers are going above and beyond what is legally required of them. And it shows that it's still horrific. You know, I'm thinking about the World Compassion or Compassion in World Farming woman that came and was kind of certifying stuff. And they showed the late night chicken collection.
Yeah.
And I wrote this down. She said that it seemed like it was the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
And then she's like, but on the other hand, this is the best thing for them. Like nighttime, you know, red lights.
Calming.
And it's like, is this really the best we can do? And like, it feels like people should watch that and be like, I need to get the hell away from this stuff.
Right.
This is the best that we can offer these animals. But I don't think that someone that's looking at it through other than a vegan lens is really going to make that conclusion.
Yeah. And that woman was visually very upset by what was happening, but still had to, you know, play cool, like, oh, this is the best thing, I swear. Yes, I believe that.
Yeah, I was gonna say exactly what you said, Andy, that, like, I think that someone that does eat meat that would watch this would use this movie, like, the way that they would see it is they would say, like, oh, this is a way I can justifiably eat meat. Even though, like you've brought up, the movie kind of paints an unrealistic depiction of how accessible the meat that these farmers are raising would be, like in a supermarket or in a restaurant or something like that. I think it's just going to make people feel better about eating meat, even if they put minimal effort into finding, quote, humane meat.
Also, we were talking about how the movie feels like a big, long commercial for Whole Foods. Whole Foods isn't very accessible for people, so it's kind of like, oh, I'll just go to Whole Foods and buy Happy Meat. Well, that's not convenient for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as we've talked about many times in the show, it's not that model of agriculture is not something that is going to feed the massive population. And they kind of do a throwaway addressing of that, like, well, we can have massive operations that are still good for animals, you know, when they're talking about like the egg innovation guy and stuff, but you look at that and you're like, this still does not seem very good for animals.
That's what I was thinking of. That was one of the examples I was thinking of before when I said it's a lot of farmers saying like, this is like, look how happy all of these chickens are, and then it was like 10,000 chickens all crowded together on top of each other.
We did this one thing, and look how much less shitty it is. We gave them a perch.
Yeah, we gave them shade.
Temporary shade.
And then
shade.
God said shade.
Yeah. Ugh. Ooh, can I say something?
Yeah.
I was super stoked to see that they ate at Food in Kansas City.
Oh, yes, that was nice.
Yeah, that was really great. And the dude really, really loved the barbecued jackfruit sandwich. And he said that,
if all meat substitutes were this good, I could easily be vegan.
Yeah.
And I wanted to jump out at him and say, I think, Andy, what you've said in a couple of our previous episodes, that's like, hey, buddy, it's like, I'm sure you've had meat sandwiches that tasted like crap before too. So it's like, I don't get why you would expect every single vegan thing to taste good if you know that every single meat thing is not going to taste good either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've had that sandwich before. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's not even the best barbecue jackfruit sandwich I've had. And it also makes me think, has his vegan wife not exposed him to tons of different vegan foods?
Seriously. Like,
he's too busy eating rib fests.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day is rib fest.
I'm wondering if they just staged that. Because, like, again, part of me thinks that on some level this is like a backdoor vegan film. Or like a stepping stone. It's definitely a stepping stone film. I feel like that's for sure. Because they recommend Meatless Mondays at the very end is a good place to start.
Shout out to Wayne.
But,
HSUS.
Okay.
that one.
Not Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh, God, I wish.
It makes me think that on some level it is like this backdoor way of getting in. And I wonder if they film that because he's like, you know what? This really needs footage of me saying how good vegan food is because I'm like the unconvinced omnivore. And I need to put this in there, you know, and because it's like if people watch it and they're like the person watch it that's making this for me is not trying to convince me to be vegan. Perhaps they're way more open to the message. You know, and they're like, I'm going to make my own conclusions based off of this. And again, I don't think they're going to make the conclusions we want them to make. But I'm wondering if on some level this is a useful tool for us to use.
I disagree.
Show your work, Paul.
I think that what happened with the scenes with the filmmaker was that they expected it to be more exciting and his story arc was just not exciting at all. And they're like, oh, great. Now we have a bunch of films of me like saying things like, but I don't feel anything. and really nothing happens after that. So they were like, oh, I guess we'll just end it. I'll say some really vague thing about how we need to care more. I guess that's what I'll say at the end. It's like his personal storyline doesn't really conclude, which, in real life it probably didn't conclude, but that doesn't really make for a good movie, or it doesn't make for like a good point to the movie.
Yeah, I guess that's the bummer about real life is we don't always have these nicely defined story arcs.
Yeah, but that's why every single person doesn't make a movie about their life.
Touche, Paul.
I was thinking about that scene where the guy was all, "Well, I don't feel anything," because there's a scene where he's in the car with his wife and he keeps saying, "I see all these things, but like they don't affect me right away. Like I have to think about them for a long time. I can't just change like you." And he almost seems, you know, kind of baby-like toward his wife. But I mean, he makes what I thought of was how a lot of people think that vegan outreach is making people turn vegan right on the spot, when really that's not as likely to happen. People need time to think about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with him it almost felt like he was just deflecting.
Yeah, that guy.
But yeah, I kept waiting for him to have like a Cowspiracy-esque, you know, like, but what about this? I wanted him to lead us through. My wife wants me to look into where our food comes from, so I'm going to look in where the majority of food comes from, which is these horrible industrial operations, and then go, but there has to be a better way. And then he goes to these other farmers and then is maybe a little ambivalent about it, but like ultimately is kind of like, it still doesn't seem great, you know?
Yeah.
And it just seemed like he was the exact same the entire way through the entire film.
Also, now that you mentioned that, he's supposed to be looking into the food that he eats. I'm pretty sure he doesn't get all of his animal products from Whole Foods or these special local farms spread out across the country. You know, like, he's not even looking at what he himself purchases. I don't know where these people live. I guess I can't assume Missouri just because I went to Kansas City. But
yeah, and like you said, Paul, they jumped into things really quickly. Like, they just jumped into humane farming, like, super fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I would say that this movie is, like, 90% like a welfare movie and a 10% like a vegan movie.
You mean plant-based?
Well,
I have it in my notes. Vegans, I have it in my,
yeah, no. Just eat plants. Calm down.
I have it in my notes. I think this might be it. Vegan was used twice, the one time that I mentioned, and then the other time when one of the farmers says, I can appreciate why someone would want to be vegan. And then I think plant-based is used twice, one time with Mr. Plant-Based Till 6, and the other time when Wayne says we need to eat more plant-based and humane things. So it's almost like every single time that plant-based is used, it's like plant-based, ... and meat.
Yeah, they really undercut that message.
So maybe I would even shrink that to 7% plant-based.
Yeah, and what did John... I'm trying to remember what John Mackey said. He was in there for a hot second.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that he would advocate more for veganism because that's, you know, what he does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw him do at the Stanford debate. But he was also saying some similarly incredibly vague things.
Yeah, I was really hoping Mackey was going to show his V-card. Or whatever. You know, that one V card.
But maybe also he did say some of that stuff and it got cut out. Who knows?
That's true.
I don't know. If we've given him the benefit of the doubt every single time we've talked about him.
Yeah.
So.
And there could have been a lot of amazing things said at Animal Place that just didn't make it to the final cut of the film, too.
Yeah, I have a feeling they may have softened. Because Animal Place is very upfront about their vegan message. And they say that in the film, but then they don't really allow them to say their vegan message.
Yeah.
They only leave in, like, the softest version of it.
Yep.
I will say on the plus side, I don't think there was any little, like, nitpicks that I had. Like when we reviewed vegan everyday stories, and there's, like, a ton of little things that I was like, that's unintentionally funny. There wasn't really much of that in this film.
Well,
there wasn't. No, this...
There was a cow that made really cool staring faces at the camera that made me laugh.
I like when it was at Animal Place when they go to feed the pig and she's like, "What's I forget what the pig's name is, but she calls the pig and he's just like, "Mwah." That part got a lot of chuckles in my theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have too many chuckles in our theater.
No, the nine of us. I will say that... a lot of the people that sat closest to me, they made a lot of exasperated sounds at moments that were not cool. And I couldn't tell if the person sitting a couple seats away from me was crying or not. There seemed to be a lot of vocal reactions that weren't necessarily anti-plant-based or whatever. It was more like, oh, this is terrible. What they're doing to these animals is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that too when the pigs were being castrated and stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like most of the people in our theater were vegan. Like, I'm wondering who's seeking out this film.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one person looked like she brought her son. He was considerably younger.
Yeah.
Like you said, though, Andy, I think it was a very well shot and put together film.
Yeah.
Like, visually, I thought it was very, very good. I was never really bored. I don't necessarily agree with or understand fully the purpose of it, I think it was very well put together.
Yeah, it was pleasant to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we know. I mean, I guess we've been second guessing the whole time, but it feels like the purpose is to move people further down the vegan. Or, you know, conscious eating line in whatever step they feel appropriate taking. You know, it's just that we're not sure what the exact ask is that they're trying to put out there.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a very well done film that none of us can recommend.
Yeah. Also, the animation at the end is really cute.
Oh, very cute. Yeah. I got some serious Chipotle like vibes on that text choice.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Did you have the Chipotle advertisement before?
No.
No.
Oh God, there's this 4 minute animated it turns out to be an ad for Chipotle, which it has nothing to do
with. Was it the Scarecrow?
No, it was like these two rival, like it's this one little boy that's selling lemonade and this one little girl across the street that's selling orange juice. and it like they keep trying to compete against each other, and it's like 30 years later, and now they have these like giant factories where they're producing like orange juice and lemonade, and then they both realize like, oh, they're at the same time, they're both like, my God, what have I done? It's like we've let this go too far, and they both like just see each other, and they've been rivals this whole time, and then they like get together, and then it shows them like now they're married and they have a shop together where they're like hand making tacos or something like that. And then it just says Chipotle, and it's like adorable.
Polly,
it was so cute.
Polly, I can't believe you sold our life story to Chipotle to make a commercial.
Aww.
Well, it seems like that's probably a good place to wrap it up unless you had any final thoughts, Paul.
Yeah, I guess just, I think vegans should see this and let us know what they think. Let us know if we missed anything, but I am not going to recommend this to non-vegans because I think the only thing they'll get out of it is, oh, I need to buy humane meat.
Or buy a snazzy shirt like Temple Grandin.
What's the thing that she wears?
A bolo?
Yep. Oh my God.
Did you see it has her initials on it?
Yes.
Baller.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Totally baller.
her fashion sense and then that one guy's accent were like my favorite parts of the movie.
Great accent. Really, really great. Oh. I enjoyed dissecting this movie with you guys because at the beginning I thought, well, you know, this movie had its, you know, redeeming factors. And now I'm like, no, I'm with you.
We often talk ourselves out of liking films on this show.
I believe it. Because that's where I'm at now. Like, oh yeah, that's bullshit. This is bullshit too.
Yeah, I think the only film that we both like wholeheartedly loved going in was Race and the Extinction. But then by the end, we're like, this movie's kind of racist and xenophobic. And like...
I haven't seen it yet.
I still recommend that. I think that's the only movie that I actually am like, I would recommend this movie to other people.
Yes. And also Cowspiracy, I think. We're both pretty happy with Cowspiracy.
I've had a lot of non-vegan friends be pretty moved by Cowspiracy.
Hmm. All right. Well, I think we can call it a day on At the Fork. We want you, the listener, to go see it and let us know what you think. Find a free way to see it. if possible. And please do send us your comments. You can always reach us, of course, at thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. You can find all of our archived episodes and leave comments on individual episodes at thecommentist.com. So that's just thecommentist.com. And of course, you can always connect with us on our Instagram, which is at thebeardedvegans. And you can see all the pictures of the wonderful Ramen Hood trip that we just had on there as well.
Including a squishy egg. A vegan egg. Squishy. Yeah.
Hey, Andy. Do you think people ever get confused and type in at the bearded vegans, like AT, the bearded vegans?
I mean, I guess I could probably stop saying that because people know how Instagram works.
I think people know how Instagram works.
I'm going to go back and edit every old episode.
Okay.
You're going to be busy.
So, Andy, what do you have coming up?
Well, soon I'll be departing the wonderful state of California and headed into the mountains to go to the Colorado Veg Fest July 23rd and 24th. I'll be at the Pittsburgh Veg Fest on July 30th. And then I will be at the Western New York Veg Fest in Buffalo, New York on August 7th. And I'll be behind the Compassion Company table, so you can come find me there. And if you want all the info, links to the events, you can go to CompassionCo.com to find those.
Nice. Very nice. Amanda.
Yo.
Where can people, what would you like the people to know?
They can follow Farm Animal Rights Movement on Twitter and Instagram. It's at FarmUSA and on Facebook.
No at.
Oh, sorry. It's not at FarmUSA. And on Facebook, it's Farm Animal Rights Movement. Written out in full. And then I myself am on Twitter. My handle is Amanda Says What. That's WUT. It's a play on As Sphincter Says What from Wayne's World. It's Amanda Says What. So that's that.
All right, Paul, what do you have to say?
I have to say, we are the Bearded Vegans and Amanda. Signing off. But I don't feel anything.